We're back here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. Down the home stretch. John Schmoke, Anita Marks with you. Day three at the Combine in Indianapolis. We've brought in a lot of guys, and our cleanup hitter for the week of shows will be Tony Pauline,
draft insider Don Head.
It is a lot of pressure. We've had a lot of good guests. Tony also doing work for the Eagles and also for SNY. He'll be doing some hits this weekend as well. And Tony, obviously a big weekend for the draft. The theme we've gotten from scouts this week is that very impressive defensive draft class, especially on the defensive line. Do you share that sentiment? And can the Giants, if they don't go front seven or front four first round, are they going to be able to find guys second, third, fourth round to maybe help out there?
Yeah, absolutely. I think defensive tackle is very strong there. I love the space linebackers, the three-down linebackers. People think of linebackers, you know, just rushing up the field. In this draft, you got a lot of three-down guys who can rush the passer, who can play the run, who
are
also very good in coverage. I mean, three-down players, some good cornerbacks, but I think your outside space linebackers and your defensive tackles really head the group from the defensive side of the ball. Later on, you got some decent defensive ends that can rush the passer where the Giants may look in the second or third round, second day of the draft.
All right, so two things that have been communicated to us so far today. Number one, we just had Field Yates on. He thinks there's a chance that DeForest Buckner could fall to the Giants at 10. If that's true, is that a no-brainer pick?
No, I don't think so. You know, DeForest Buckner, to me, is a better 3-4 defensive lineman than he is a 4-3. 6-7 and change. I don't think he's a great pass rusher. He's a good pass rusher. He's better in a Baltimore Ravens type of system. I know that people just pin him in right there. I just don't think he's a good fit for the Giants system. I think maybe at that point in time they look at a linebacker, or maybe they trade down. I just don't think that if DeForest Buckner's there with the 10th pick, the Giants are going to go running up to the table with his name on the card.
We had Matt Miller on not too long ago. Matt Miller feels that there's going to be three quarterbacks taken in the top 10, which really would bode well for the Giants. Maybe a Miles Jack, somebody like that, a Ramsey falling to the Giants at 10. We've seen it before. Is that a possibility? Do you agree with that? You think three quarterbacks in the top 10?
No, I think two. I think Carson Wentz and Jared Goff, maybe not in that order. I don't think Paxton Lynch is going to be a top 10 pick. I think he's going to fall. He's not as polished. He's not as polished both on the field as well as intellectually compared to those two guys. And those guys will tend to slip a little bit. So I think you're going to get two at most. I don't think you'll get three.
And you don't get the guys that will be there at 10. If you're looking for a pass rusher at 10, we've talked a lot about Noah Spence. Yeah. So moving past him, the next group, the Dodds, the Lawsons, right, guys like that, who do you like at 10 on that defensive line that can maybe create some heat up front going after the quarterback?
At 10, none. I think all those guys you mentioned are good pass rushers.
But
their reaches at 10. It's a big stretch. I think those guys are basically bottom half of round one type of players. I like Kevin Dodd a lot. I like him better than Shaq Lawson. But he's more of a bottom third of round one guy. Shaq Lawson's a good pass rusher. He's banged up. He doesn't have the same body type of Kevin Dodd. He's not going to be as big. He's not going to be as stout against the run. But again, I mean, you know, that's a situation. If you take either of those guys at 10, it's a bit of a reach.
Interesting.
All right. So this is so much fun. I love this. So Giants sitting at 10. Let's say that Ramsey, Jack are off the board. Bosa, of course, I think everybody's anticipating that. Ezekiel Elliott is on the board. Do you go with Elliott, or do you maybe try to trade down? Because now you're saying that the defensive talent that's still there, that the value is more towards the lower end of the first round. If you're in that war room with the Giants, do you take Elliott if he's still on the board at 10, or do you try to trade down?
I want to see how he works out. And obviously the Giants are going to interview him. And, you know, you want to see how he interviews. He came from a very talented program at Ohio State that had some great offensive linemen. They're going to have a couple of first-round picks on the offensive line. I think he's got to be a consideration. I think Ezekiel Elliott's the only running back that's going to be selected in the first round. You know, it's a consideration. If they can trade down and get some extra picks to get some defensive linemen, some outside linebackers later on, I think that's all. You know, you take the best player available, but if the best player available is so far off your need, then you kind of look to maybe trade down and get to extra selections.
What do you think of that second group of linebackers after Miles Jack? And I realize if he's healthy, Jalen Smith's in the first group, but with the ACL, he's going to get pushed back a little bit.
Right.
him, Raglan, the Jaron Lee kid from Ohio State that people think can run sideline to sideline, the weak side in a 4-3. Where do you think that next group of linebackers is going to start knocking off the board there on draft day?
I am a huge Jaron Lee fan, and I think after Saturday, when he works out, Jaron Lee is going to jump into the top 15 of the draft because of what you said.
Wow.
He's a three-down linebacker. If you watch the Ohio State film, he was the most consistent defender on the film. It wasn't Joey Bosa. He was a guy who defended the run, rushed the passer, can drop back off the line and play in space, cover the tight ends, cover running backs down the field. He is the ultimate three-down defender. He's a terrific 4-3 outside linebacker. I have a feeling that's the guy who's going to make the big move up the boards. Jalen Smith, if you select Jalen Smith, it has to be with the mind thought that with the thought process that you're not going to get anything out of him in 2016. You may have to redshirt him in 2016. You may want to redshirt him in 2016 because it was a late injury. He injured his knee on January 1st. So if you rush him back, you may ruin him. If you take your time with him, you could have an all-pro linebacker down the road. Reggie Raglan, very good, but he's 6'1.5". I mean, he's more of an inside 3-4 type of run-stuffing linebacker who's going to struggle and have mismatch problems in coverage. So I think he's a middle of first-round pick, but I think he's a scheme-specific player where a guy like Jaron Lee can play in a 3-4, he can play in a 4-3. He's a three-down linebacker. You can shift him on the inside in certain downs. You play him on the outside. I just like his versatility.
With Smith, what is it going to come down to? Obviously, I'm sure – you know, you've got the top-notch medical here. I know players like spend an entire day in the MRI room. But health, interviews, what realistically will he be able to do on his pro day, if anything? Like how is that evaluation process for Smith going to?
It's going to come down to what the medical staff say. And what the Giants medical staff say may be completely different to, say, what the Miami Dolphins medical staff say, because they will look at it differently. One team may say, well, forget about this guy, not only because he's injured now, but it could be a degenerative type of condition that's really never going to heal. Where another team may say, you know what, we like this guy, we think he'll be ready by November. It's all a matter of the doctors reading the MRIs, you know, they tug on the joints and things like that, the prognosis, and no two prognoses are usually the same when it comes to combine medicals.
I want to touch, Tony, with you a couple of things we haven't really talked to anybody else yet about at this draft. Tight end class.
Yeah.
We haven't talked to anybody about the tight end class yet. We've heard maybe Hunter Henry back end of the first round. Do you think that's true? Who else do you like? Where do you think a good value could be if you want to try to draft a tight end?
Yeah, Hunter Henry or Austin Hooper of Stanford is a guy who I think is going to make a big move up draft boards. Maybe late in round one, because what happens in late in round one is two things. Either one, those teams who are competing are trying to get that last piece in there, and so they draft for need. Or you get a team in the early part of round two who wants to jump up to get that player. So I think both of those guys, anywhere between picks 25 to number 40. Nick Vinette out of Ohio State, he's a player I know the Giants like. He's a three-down tight end. He's not a field stretcher the way Austin Hooper or Hunter Henry is. He's a guy who 10, 15 yards down the road, down the field can make the difficult catch in traffic for the first down or in the end zone, and he's also a very good blocker.
Maybe like an Anthony Fasano type of guy. We could do a little bit of everything.
Exactly. He's a better blocker than Fasano.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. And he's a guy who I know the Giants like. He's probably going to go in that third round, maybe fourth round range, early fourth round. I think that's a guy they're going to look at. And he's a guy who I think can play the season immediately. If you're looking long-term, Jarrell Adams out of South Carolina, former basketball player, 6'5 and change, incredibly athletic, had a good Senior Bowl, is just learning to block. But if you take a Jarrell Adams, you're looking at a guy maybe 2 or 3 years down the road.
What is draft day or draft night, really, the first two rounds? What is it like for you? I'm assuming you're going to be doing some work, television and radio and whatnot, but as the draft is continuing, I'm sure you have your by that time it'll be like
he's praying his mock draft is right.
Right, your mock draft 7.0, but because I love it, I have so much fun watching and try to anticipate what's happening. Do you do the same thing? Are you like, all right, so this player's gone. I think this team is really. I can't believe this guy's still available. I mean, how is that night for you?
I don't do too many mock drafts because you know you spend all this time on him, then one thing happens, there's a trade or something,
and
or
then
a
free
agent. Exactly.
Right.
So. But the thing about draft night is you've got all this information coming in, and you're trying to decipher which is right and which is wrong. Is this player moving up the board? Does this team really want this quarterback? You know, where is Jalen Smith? What information that you're getting on Jalen Smith is absolutely correct? So you're trying to process all the information you're getting, and you're trying to see which of it is more right than the other stuff so you can tell where the players are going to end up.
We talked to Matt Miller, as Nita mentioned, and he says he really likes this safety class. And he thinks he's not going to get a top 15 guy in there, obviously. Right. But once you get to the end of the first round, second round, there are some guys that can step in and do a little bit of everything. Do you agree?
It's top heavy. You only got about three or four guys. There's not a lot of depth. Canoe Neal of Florida is a guy who's moving up draft boards, could end up in the late first round. Everyone talks about Vernon Hargraves in the Florida secondary. Canoe Neal was the most consistent player when you talk to scouts. He's a good run defender.
Interesting.
He's a guy who can also – he's not as flashy as Vernon Hargraves, but he's more consistent. He doesn't have the mental breakdowns. The other guy is Darian Thompson of Boise State. I don't know if he's going to go late first round, but in that early second round area, I think that's a good place for him. Again, a complete player, not a guy who plays in the box, who just plays downhill, can go sideline to sideline, can get outside the numbers to the flanks to help out the cornerbacks, makes plays against the run as well as the pass. Both good players, both guys who I think will eventually become starters as rookies in the NFL.
Great stuff.
Great stuff, Tony. One more for me. We actually didn't get you I'm not going to ask for a prediction. But
why?
Value
let's,
for the – okay,
yeah,
fine. Give me a prediction.
You asked for
whatever.
Prediction from everybody. Why are we leaving him out?
10th pick. What do you think?
I'm going to go off the beaten path here, and I'm going to say Darren Lee for a couple of reasons.
Okay.
Okay, everybody is DeForest, but no, I'm going to say Darren Lee. Number one, I think he's going to be a riser. Number two, I don't think there's going to be a defensive end there for the Giants in round one. I think maybe round two or three, Bronson Kafusi of BYU, a player like that, Shalik Calhoun of Michigan State. But I think, you know, the Giants need linebackers. They need three down defenders. They need guys who can play the pass and stuff the run and also blitz. Darren Lee can do it all. Everybody gets transfixed when they talk about Ohio State. They mention Joey Bosa. But, again, you go back to the tape. You know, he's the most consistent defender there. He's got great upside. So he's a guy who, you know, will contribute as a rookie 2 or 3 years down the road. He's going to be a terrific player.
You know, I'm happy you brought it up because I haven't asked anybody about pass rushers in rounds two or three. You mentioned a couple guys. Yeah. Give me a feel for them and some other guys you think might be good value day two that could rush the passer a little bit.
Look at the Giants. Historically, they like the long, tall defensive ends. Bronson Kafusi of BYU, 6'6 and change. As a junior, they stood him up over tackles out of place. When he came out of a three-point stance this year, he was dynamite. Terrific. Can rush the edge. He's an older guy, more mature guy. He's going to run in the 4.7s from what I hear when he works out
on
Sunday.
That's good for a defensive end.
Exactly. And he's got a body that can add bulk. You talk to him, he's an intelligent guy. He's got a decent body of work. I think he is a second, third-round guy, as is Shalik Calhoun, someone who a lot of people thought was going to be a first-round pick coming in, 6'4 and change. Great up the field. Not the greatest athlete, but a guy who knows how to rush the passer, plays with leverage, uses his hands well, can bend off the edge, has made a lot of plays since his sophomore year behind the line of scrimmage at Michigan State. So I think those are two guys when you get in that second, even third round, if they're on the board, the Giants haven't taken a defensive end, they have to be considerations.
Same deal, second, third round wide receivers.
Oh, I think if you want a field stretcher, Corey Coleman is a guy who I think is probably going to fall out of the first round. He's not as polished. You come out of that Baylor system, it's wide open.
I think he's only run three routes, right, in his career?
You don't have to run a lot of disciplined routes. So I think he's a guy who's used to catching the ball down the field. Later on, you caught me here, a bigger receiver. Let me think. LSU's got no last day guy would be DeMarcus Robinson of Florida. DeMarcus Robinson is a tremendous athlete. He's going to work out like an Olympian. He's got a lot of off-the-field issues. If you can get past those off-the-field issues, you could have a number one wideout on your hand.
Last question from me to you. Who is the best player coming out of this draft?
Oh, that's a good question.
It is. If it wasn't for the knee injury, it would be Jalen Smith. I mean, without
You're
a doubt.
You're the second guy that said
second
that today,
guy.
By the way.
No doubt about it. Because his versatility, his explosion, his game-breaking the ability to impact the game and really a player that offenses have to game plan around. I'm going to stick with Joey Bosa. I mean, I like Joey Bosa. He's a guy who, again, can rush the passer, can play the run, a guy who teams had to game plan around, constantly doubled, yet consistently made plays. A lot of people think he's arrogant. A lot of people don't like his attitude. He's a game. He's a guy.
Did you sit in on his press conference?
No, but I heard about it. I was watching.
He's hilarious.
I had heard about it. I was at the offensive line workout. I think that, you know, the board shouldn't move that much. I mean, Joey Bosa has consistently and Jalen Smith have consistently been the best players on the boards. Unless Joey Bosa throws up some sort of goose eggs during his workouts, as far as I'm concerned. He's going to be the best player.
I hear Jalen Ramsey might break some records this weekend.
Could be. I mean, he's a great athlete. He's not a great cornerback at this point.
You like him as a safety?
I think he can play cornerback, but I think he's going to struggle making plays with his back against the ball. You may have to use him in bump and run. You may have to use him in zone. If you put him in a lot of man coverage, there may be a lot of pass receptions thrown against him down the field, only because he can't get his head back around. Doesn't get his head back around and position himself to make plays.
He doesn't watch the ball.
He can run down the field with receivers, but he can't find the ball. So I think he's a little system limited there. Face him. You can have him face the action either at safety or cornerback.
Tony, phenomenal.
Great stuff.